Fagioli punta la porta, Fagioli ancora, raso terra, Di Maria! Di Maria! È un gol fantastico, quello del Fideo!
The Calcio Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas Di Giovanni. We want to bring Calcio back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Calcio Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The intro song is Fireworks by Jazar. Fantastic call, what you just heard there, Enrico Zambruno, on the Di Maria worldly goal against Nantes on Thursday. Tomorrow is his last game commentating on Juve. So if you're a Juve fan, you're very familiar with his voice. Head to YouTube, listen to his highlights. But that's not the important thing here on the Calcio Guys. Adriano, I'm Nicholas. Gianni is away for 2 weeks. He's actually in Italy, but instead we found a better replacement, yes, Anthony Scanga from All Juve Cast. I don't think Gianni will be too happy that we have another Juve fan, but we're outnumbering you, Adriano, 2-1 today. Anthony, how's it going?
Living the dream, as I always say on our show at the All Juve Cast. Now, listen, you should always be striving to upgrade, and I'm happy that for this show you guys at least upgraded Gianni to me. Truly honored. Love your show. I love everything you guys do. I love interacting with you guys, and we could finally get this connection to make this happen tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, and I appreciate it.
We appreciate that, and obviously, as a Juve fan, I love all Juve Cast as well. You guys, you've been doing fantastic stuff too. We've had Berto on, we've had Daniel, we've had Lex, we've had Luca. So I think you're the fifth member. I think next is Lou, but it has been a while, Anthony, that we've been wanting to get you on. So we're happy it finally came around. At least we get to talk about Juve win. First time in 4 years that they advanced in European knockout. Yeah. It's not the same, right? Last time that happened was against Atletico, the comeback win. Not the same, but I mean, we're happy about it, right?
Well, being of advanced age, I tend to forget things that happen right after breakfast. So if it was 4 years ago, I don't remember it. It's been a long time. I tend to take it year by year, 1 year at a time, especially this year. You got to take it one game at a time. This year has been a mess, as you know, Nick. So, but we'll take it. We'll take it. We got Freiburg in the next round. We'll see how that goes. One step at a time.
And Anthony, before we get into all the details about Juve and everything, just want to ask you your story with Juve. How did you become a fan?
Well, being the youngest of four boys, you're kind of forced into whoever you support, right? Whoever the other three support. So my three older brothers being Juventus fans, it's only natural because I don't want to get my head kicked in by supporting someone else. So only naturally you just support whoever your brothers are supporting. I think my dad, he was a Juventus supporter. Not as, I would say, as he doesn't have as much fervor as we do for Juventus, but been a longtime supporter. You know, I guess you could say that it was the, I quasi remember the disaster in '86, and then, but really when we signed Baggio in 1990, that's really when it started happening for me. Italian '90, remember it clearly, and then '94 being able to go to the World Cup. I didn't see Italy in that World Cup, but being, you know, that kind of recharged it as a early teenager, those years, '94. So, and I've been a fan ever since. So since the mid '80s, been covering it. I've been lucky for the past couple of years to join Berto and the crew on the All Juve Cast. There was a couple of years there, sort of lost a bit of passion for it, but coming with the All Juve Cast, it sort of brought it back. And, we do 2-3 shows a week, and I love it. It's really reignited the passion for the club, and look forward to every week. This year has been a little bit tougher, but again, take it game by game, and the passion hasn't subsided at all this year.
But beautiful. And
awesome to hear.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it is. It is. Listen, we ask, Anthony, we ask this this question to pretty much every guest that we have on for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we love to hear the story. There's always, if it's a big story or a small story, it doesn't matter. The passion of the game is what really counts, no matter who you support. Seeing that you are now part of all UVA cast, and I believe that's been for quite a bit now. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved personally? And if anybody does follow you on Twitter, I believe your handle is the knee guy or that knee guy.
Yeah, the knee guy. So
something, the knee guy. So just tell us about that and just how you got involved with AJC.
Yeah. So the knee guy thing, having as many knee surgeries as I've had, you just kind of, that was just the first thing I thought of. And I think it was 2011. I started on the Matrix, better known as Twitter.
Okay.
So I just started with the knee guy, and then it was probably 2020, somewhere around there, 2019, 2020. I was following the all UV cast. I was getting back into it, and I was just in their comments, just kind of, following along and following every show. And then Lou Ventino, he was the one who I chat with a little bit, and Daniel Lucci kind of in the DMs about Juventus and questions and comments. And then they said, I said, can I come on the show? Because Bertel's always about bringing people on, bringing guests on, bringing viewers on. So I put my name in the hat, and they made a big mistake. Because since they let me in, it's been all downhill since then. But I love it. It's, I find that even like after a loss, it's a very, or even a win, it's a good way to vent. Right. You kind of get it out of the system, and we get to sit down and talk, because we do pregame and postgame on YouTube. And it's a good relief. You kind of, you put your notes down, and then the next day you go out there and put your thoughts on YouTube and take all the questions and criticisms. And, and the good thing is about at the all UV cast, we all sort of have different opinions on things. I'm a little bit older, probably wiser than everybody else, but I maybe don't get as worked up as others, and so I tend to see things a little bit differently. I'm not saying my views are right or wrong, but it's good that we all have different views on it, and we bring a different perspective to Juventus, and we're growing. It's a good thing over there. We have a good thing going. I'd say we have a lot of pokers in the fire behind the scenes, and Berto does a great job. Berto built, I gave Alberto full credit. He built a great team over there. And again, day by day, we're looking to grow. We are growing, and we're very excited for potentially some of the next steps that we have coming out. So very excited.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, I do know you guys have different opinions, and I wanted to ask you, what's it like when it's a podcast just about one team? And I think anybody who does a cultural podcast, if it's only about one team, I guess that's a bit of a challenge, right? Because you never want to just say the same opinions. Oh, they played well today. Oh, yeah, okay, they played well. Yeah, I agree. Okay, I agree. I do see that, when you guys do the videos or you run Twitter, your opinions. So it is interesting to see. Do you think it's a challenge at all to have, those different opinions?
Listen, there's sometimes we're in the green room before the show, and we're like, what in the hell are we going to talk about? It's like a grinding out 1-0 win, like a max win, classic Max Allegri win, and we just don't have any topics. But we get on there and we go for an hour and 15 minutes. We have a great, we call them the AJC Army. We have a great core of people that are on there every show. And they send in their questions and their comments, and we build off of things that they want to talk about. And sometimes just one topic can go for 20 minutes. So you're right. You would think that it would be tough to, come up with things to talk about, but especially just being one team. But there's a lot of Juventus fans out there. They have a lot of questions, and we've been blessed with a lot of access to, Romeo Agresti and Mirko Di Natale. So we talk with them pretty frequently to answer our questions. And we have them on. We're going to be having Romeo on probably a little bit more often. Because his English is very good, and he would like to work on that. So we've offered our platform for him to come on and speak. So, you know, a lot of good things in that sense. But yeah, you just kind of figure it out. You kind of, you know, last show we got onto the topic of music, which we don't normally do, and I don't know anything about music, but not too often we venture off Juventus. But you know, whatever the people want to talk about, we tend to cover it, and we fill the time. It's a miracle that we do, but we love every minute of it.
No, it's good. I mean, there's so many content creators out there of you know, this league and of this sport in general. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody that, you know, takes a stab at it, but with their own, you know, viewpoint and vision, you know, it's amazing. This is what it's all about, right? Again, forget the shirt, forget the colors you support, the league, the game, the English language of this content. Mm-hmm. Getting out there is always a positive thing. So again, we commend you for all the work you guys do over there. Speaking about, you know, figuring it out and getting things done, we're going to jump in, I guess, right into the Europa League matchup against Nantes. Mm-hmm. The second leg, 3-0, got through 4-1 on aggregate. The first leg was a bit iffy with a 1-1 draw. I guess just your overall thoughts, Anthony, about the matchup, about maybe this game first, the other game, however you want to word it, the floor is yours. Just your overall thoughts of how you felt about this matchup and obviously the results at the end.
Well, not stinks. Let's just face facts. Not stinks. They're not a good team. I don't even know how much possession they had in the first leg. They had one shot on net and went in. You know, you make one mistake, the ball went in the back of the net. Shame on Juventus for not scoring more goals. I had a little bit of concern. So I wasn't, how do you put it? I should have been less concerned about the second leg, but based on history and recent history with Juventus, they just had that monkey on their back about the getting through the knockout phase. Even though this wasn't the round of 16, this was the round of 32. I think getting that key knockout, just getting a knockout win, right? Sure. But once Di Maria scored, I let's start with the beginning of the second leg. You know, the Nantes fans are into it. I know some Juventus fans, because I run the main, typically I run the main AJC Twitter account during games. So I could see a lot of people concerned about, oh man, they're putting us under pressure, but that's going to happen in a away game. Very boisterous crowd. They're going to be into it. The home team's going to be pumped up. But then Di Maria scored 4 minutes in. I knew it was over. Once he put that in, there was, you know, they were going to lock it down at the back, and then the red card and handball. Again, I saw a lot of Juventus fans saying that's a harsh red. I don't think it was, because I don't see any fans, any Nantes fans complaining about the first leg when that handball was overturned and because of a foul on Bremer. So you got to take it. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck. Everybody gets it. Juventus hasn't got a lot of it lately. So I took it. You go up 2-0, man up. We need a little bit of luck. And I was happy to see that kind of coast out the rest of the leg. Freiburg is a little bit of a different story in the next round. You know, they're 3 points out of first in the Bundesliga, I think. I think they're going to be a little bit more of a handful, but now the boys have a little bit of confidence, a little bit of bravado for winning a knockout phase. I think Freiburg might be in trouble in the next round.
You're saying,
looking forward to it.
You're saying Freiburg might cause trouble, or Freiburg might be in trouble?
They're going to be in trouble. I think the boys are going to be ready to go in the next round.
It's interesting, because you know what you said about the whole mentality thing about knockout. You know, I agree with that 100%. Even as a fan, I was feeling it after what happened to what. So it was Lyon, Porto, then Villarreal. After what happened the last three Champions Leagues, those losing those games, especially against Porto and Lyon, the way they lost, it sucked big time. And I just didn't want to see that happen again against Nantes. I was pretty nervous, honestly, before the game. Obviously, it's weird, guys. They haven't been in Europa League in 9 years. And, you know, beginning of the season, right, goal was always Champions League. That's how it's been for the past 10 years or so. But now that we're in Europa League, it's like, talk to any Juve fan, of course, we want to win Europa League. And, man, I was so nervous before the game, of course, you know. They played, I think, how everyone was more or less expecting before even the first game. 3-0, Di Maria stole the show. I don't know if it was you who would have tweeted it from the main All Juve Cast Twitter, or if Berto tweeted it on game day. Whoever tweeted it was like, oh, you know, tweeted a picture of Di Maria. He's like, oh, this man needs to step up today. And
that was Berto.
It was Berto. You tweeted from his own account. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So yeah. But Freiburg, it, like you said, it is interesting because they are 3 points out of the top from Bundesliga. But I think there's a big difference in level between them and Bayern and Dortmund. Again, I don't watch Bundesliga, but if you look at the games they've lost only to the teams above them. So yeah, it's gonna be a challenge. We'll see. They kind of look like, if you look at their jerseys, kind of looks like Bayern light. It's red jerseys. It's gonna bring back memories from 2016. But we'll see. I'm excited.
Who isn't Bayern light in the Bundesliga? Now, just to prove that I'm not a complete Juventus slappy, I'm just gonna put this out there. When we were having trouble in the Champions League, I said on our show, this team, I think we just need just settle with the Europa League and just try and go on a deep run. I have no issues with the Europa League. I just think some of these players need a little bit more European experience, a little bit more European knockout experience. And this team is not a Champions League team. Our lineup isn't at the moment. And I think a lot of Juventus fans believe that. So I think Europa League is where we should be right now. And then we'll see what happens next year. But I think we have the right team to kind of mix things up in the Europa League.
So. And just going back onto the game just quickly, I know this is a player that's kind of gotten, and again, we'll get into it maybe a bit later as well, but
yeah.
Di Maria, right? I mean, stole the show. I think he's, slowly but surely, proven himself. Not that he has much to prove because, you know, World Cup champion. He's a Champions League winner. He's been around the block. He's won it all. He's done it all. But a lot of criticism. Again, this is me looking from the outside in. You guys know better than I do. But getting a little criticism from when he first, came to Juventus. Wasn't fit, wasn't ready to go. These last couple of weeks, he's looked like the Di Maria of old, I think, personally. Just your thoughts on him, not only this game with the hat trick, but just overall in the last few weeks, Anthony. Just has he stepped up for you? Has he been still not where he needs to be? What's your thoughts on that?
Me being the older guy of the group, I'm never going to bag on the old guys, right? That's not gonna happen. But when we signed him last year, a lot of Juventus fans would, from what I read, weren't happy with it because he's over the hill, or however you want to put it. But he's a champion, right? Plain and simple, he's a champion. And I thought he'd be great for Sule, he'd be great for Fagioli, he'd be great for Moretti, he'd be great for, you know, Locatelli. For Vlahovic, I thought he'd just for that, if he didn't live up to his potential, if you want to call it, with Juventus, behind the scenes, they could see how a champion works and what it takes to be a champion on and off the field. Yeah. We had a lot of issues with injuries first half of the season. And then, Giovanni Andreini, he came in. So he was the head of performance. He's sort of cleaned things up. They promoted him in November. So I think they were taking their time with guys with injuries, bringing them back. You can see it now with Chiesa, Pogba, a different story. We'll get to that later, but I think they're really throttling how they bring guys in. Now they're a little bit more tentative. Vlahovic, you saw it after the World Cup, but you can see it with Di Maria. You know, they were careful with him before the World Cup break, careful with him after, and it's starting to pay off. And he needs to be healthy and he needs to be on the field. And I understand that, you know, putting him in, it sort of, you have issues with bringing Chiesa in and how they can work. But I think we have a little bit more time. We have 14 games left to sort of figure out, or 13 games, somewhere around there. But Di Maria has proven that he needs to be on the field and we need to keep him, I think, for one more year. And a lot of people would might disagree with that. But I think he's just showing what, and I think that World Cup just completely boosted him and like his need, his want to continue playing. I think if Argentina maybe didn't perform well in that World Cup, again, this is me just guessing, maybe he wouldn't have the same drive for club play anymore. But I think winning that, I think he's sort of proven to himself that he still got it. And okay, not stinks. They stunk. But he was an Omer.
I think Anthony's frozen.
Can you still hear me?
There we are.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So Omar said in our group chat that he was. So as Omar mentioned on the All-Juve cast, Di Maria was two levels above everybody on the field, right? You can see that in that game, and he proved it. So hopefully he can stay healthy. Or, well, you know, even not stay healthy, just stay consistent. You know, keep him on the field as much as possible. April's going to be a gauntlet. So we have, I think, seven games that month. You know, we got Inter twice. We got to play Napoli, Rome. It's gonna be tough. So, just kind of keep everybody healthy until then, and see how it goes. But Di Maria is gonna be pivotal for April and May.
Yeah, it's funny because with Di Maria, like at first last spring, summer, you know, when it was said that he was coming, I was like a bit unsure. But then I watched him play against Italy in the Finalissima. I was like, okay, yeah, this is a good choice. And then he comes and he does not. I did not like the way he played at the beginning of the season. He looked so out of it mentally. It's as if he was just preparing for Qatar. He didn't want to risk his body or something. He was just using Juve as a training camp, whatever. But yeah, the way he's come back since Qatar, like you said, Anthony, if Argentina didn't win the World Cup, who knows if he would have been as motivated. Because now it's like, oh, you know, I won a World Cup. Let me just go out. I have this contract with Juve. Let me play for the next contract. And it's incredible. It's what we were expecting out of him. So it was. It's been nice to see.
Look at Rabiot. He was the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
He was probably our most consistent player before the World Cup.
Yes.
And now what? He hasn't been terrible. He just sort of been invisible.
It's kind of been back to what he was before.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe losing World Cup final does that to you. I don't know.
He had a good World Cup too. Yeah. No, he was pretty good, decent considering.
Yeah, I know. So, he was great the first half of the season. You did mention Pogba, but we might as well just talk about it now since you had mentioned
get it out of the way.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him coming back? This whole injury situation, it's
terrible.
It just keeps dragging on.
Yeah. So again, being the knee guy on Twitter, I don't have an issue with the decision to not get knee surgery. A lot of people had issues with him opting out of doing a knee surgery. Those people never had knee surgery. It sucks. Rehab sucks. I've done it three times. It's not fun. And I'm never going to judge a player on wind up, try and find an alternate solution to something other than knee surgery. If there's any sort of, you know, these holistic remedies are never going to work. Surgery normally is the best solution, but I can't fault a guy for saying, I don't want to do surgery. Didn't work out. He wanted to try and make the World Cup. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but he did sign a four-year deal. It's a long one. It's like,
I don't even know. It might be four. Yeah.
It's a long one. So to me, what's the rush? Would he have changed our season? No. I think our season would be the exact same as it is right now. And he's coming back hopefully at the right time, just when we need him. Meretti's down, but He should be coming back after the Derby. He should be back in a week. We're short on midfielders, and he's just – I don't think he's changed the entire landscape of our season. I think he'll change it moving forward if he's available. I think he's a game wrecker when he's healthy. You know, but people always keep pointing to the injury issues. But let's see what we got in him. Let's see what we have him for a while. I'm personally really looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Is I don't know. Again, looking outside in, as I said earlier, yep. I'm still a bit optimistic. Just even looking as just a fan of the league, right? For Pogba, like, I mean, you know, looking back at what he was, not only at Juve but just even earlier on in his career too. You know, the earlier United days as well. You know, even the second time going back to United, having some success, and then obviously falling off a bit there. But for me, I don't know if he's the same Pogba. We haven't seen it, so it really remains to be seen. I still think he needs to earn it. Just because of his name is Pogba, it doesn't mean that he's easily insertable into the squad. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his name and his accolades and his performances in the past do him justice, you know, going forward, but he's a shell of his former self, in my personal opinion. Do you think, Anthony, that you said going forward he can make that impact? Is this something that I know you said that the contract is a longer one? Do you think they, after seeing what has transpired throughout the season, will they try to cut that short? Will there be a way to maybe get rid of him, or do you think they're actually sticking on this Pogba train for the long haul?
No, I think they're going to be with him for the long haul. You want guys in the building who want to wear that jersey. And I think Pogba is one of the guys who want to wear that jersey. Chiesa is one of those guys. Locatelli is one of those guys. I think Vlahovic is one of those guys. Danilo is definitely one of those guys. I think Bremer is one of those guys. The way the team is moving and the way that they want to rebuild with a core, I don't think you can just do it with guys like Sule, Meretti, Fagioli, Locatelli. You can't just do it with those guys. You need some guys who are a little bit older, who've been there, you know, played the Barcelonas on the big stage, who've played in the Champions League finals. Possibly he's lost a step. And there's a good chance that he has. We don't know.
Yeah.
But just having him in the building, and I think a lot of people look at his social media and say, look at this guy, look at the bad influence that he is. From everything that we've heard, from the All-Juve cast, the people that we've talked to, we've heard nothing but the contrary. Player that wants to be there, team player, you know, someone who loves the club, someone who understands the club. I get concerns of where he may be down the road. Is he going to be as healthy? But let's see. Let's see what we got. Behind the scenes, you want players like that. You need players like that. So, me, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I'm a little bit older. I take things a little bit slower. I'm not as reactionary as some people. So I'll just wait and see. Let's just wait and see. Like Lucci. Lucci's like all about, I love Lucci. I love Daniel. You know, but he has his thoughts on Pogba, and I disagree with them. And like we, you know, like I said, at the All Juve cast, we have different opinions on things. And with Pogba, let's just wait and see. Let's see what happens. You know, because Rabiot's most likely not coming back. So there is a hole to fill, and you already have a guy to fill it in the building. Right? We're not going to be dropping big money this summer, I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
While we're on the topic of midfielders, Moretti, Fagioli were the two names, the young players that are kind of, I wouldn't say a revolution or anything, but, you know, it's not often we see two young players get this many opportunities with the first team at the same time. And then you got another player in Rovella who's out on loan. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch Monza at all, watch Rovella, but what have you made of those guys? At least, you know, so for someone like Fagioli, who's really been stepping up in place of Pogba, how do you rate those guys, Anthony?
I didn't have an issue with. I thought Fagioli should have been loaned, and I
I was completely wrong. Let me start with this. I was completely wrong.
Disclaimer.
At the beginning of the year, right? I thought Rovella should have stayed and Fagioli should have been loaned out. And Moretti. I thought actually Moretti should have been loaned out as well. Lo and behold, the complete opposite happens. Paredes, I didn't know about him beforehand. On the All UV cast, we had differing opinions on how he was. I didn't know. He's been not good. So obviously the natural reaction is, why did we get rid of Rovella? Rovella's still young, right? He will be in the building next year, 100%. He'll be there. But Jolie, for me, I could not have been more wrong on a player. I thought, you know, I think he won midfielder of the year last year in Serie B. So there's like a good sign that he was going to be a good player. I overrated that award a little bit. I thought it was, you know, just Serie B midfielder of the year, but what a fantastic player he's going to be. For me, I still think the jury's still out on Moretti. I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. I think he still has some growing to do. So he's a very young player. But the future's bright. You know, just look at their, you know, for those three, we'll have, you know, Rovella, Joly, Moretti in the lineup next year. Dean Houston, who's a center back with the Primavera team. He's only 17. He is most likely the next guy to come up. He scored an unreal goal in a game last week. But the future is bright for Juventus, and I just hope that these kids keep proving me wrong, keep proving the old guys wrong. And I don't mind it. I'll take the L's on these kids all day. You know, Milan's done it with their young players. I had doubts with them. Adrian, you can – I don't know how you felt about it, but – They put a lot of young guys out there, and yeah, you know, they proved everybody wrong, right? They won a Scudetto with a very young team, and they still, on average, I think, have a top four team that, statistic wise, that has players under 26 or 25 years old. So, and you want to know something? The league needs it. You know, the Pogba's good for the league, Di Maria is good for the league, Vlahovic is good for the league, but we need young Italians. You know, we need these young Italians to come up in all the clubs, in Juventus and Milan and Inter and Napoli. We need these players to come up, and they need a stage to grow on. And whether that is Serie A and Europa League, but we need to showcase what we have in younger players. And I am so excited for them to keep proving me wrong. And I will admit to it, I was dead wrong on a bunch of these guys. And it's great. They're wonderful, wonderful players, wonderful talents.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, generally. Go ahead.
No. I was going to agree with you. And again, listen, it's easy now to play Monday morning quarterback and say, you know what, this, that, and the other thing. But Nick, did you have a question? Because I wanted to continue on to the point.
I didn't have a question. I was going to add on that. I was going to say, I kind of had the same thing as you, Anthony, where I thought Fagioli should have been the one loaned out at the beginning of the season. I was pretty disappointed in the fact that it was Rovella loaned out. I thought Moretti was going to be better this year based on, you know.
Who's the youngest? Who's the youngest out of the three of those guys?
Moretti. He's 19. And okay. You know what?
Okay.
At a professional level, there's a big difference between a 21-year-old, while Fagioli just turned 22, and a 19-year-old, and I think we're seeing that. And I think between Rovella and Fagioli, they're I'm not entering their prime just yet, but you're really seeing them come into their own. Even Rovella with Monza, again, my Monza. Good. I don't watch a lot of Monza games, but I'm thinking the games he played against us. They played each other three times this season. For sure, like 22 years old, Fagioli, it's a big difference with a 19-year-old in Moretti. So. You know what? Let's give Moretti some time. But yeah, for sure. Excited just like about these.
He needs to eat a cup more like Bonini. Like he's just, needs to put a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like it's a boy playing with men.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's a physically, like you can even go to like your local fields, watch a U17 game and watch a U21 game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then watch a men's league game. Even at that, you know, recreation level, it's just physically so much different. And people will point to like Vinicius Jr. and they'll point to Pedri and they'll point to these guys. Like these are like supreme talents that were supreme talents at 17. Don't give me this, you know, Rovella was ready at 17. I don't even want to hear that. You know, he's ready now. And of course we loaned him out, but he wasn't ready 2 years ago. some people will disagree with me, but it's okay for these guys to go on loan. And it's okay that Ravella's getting maximum amount of minutes somewhere else. Like DeVinter at Empoli. He's another right back or center back for us that might come in next year. So that's just like 21 years old, 22 years old. Let's give it time. Like their prime for the midfielders isn't until they're 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's lots of time left for these kids.
Yeah.
And barring any, even like a catastrophic injury. This isn't 1990 anymore where Budjo had the knee injury and Del Piero had a major injury. Times have changed. Like they'll come back. Like just give it. Let's just be a little patient with some of these guys and some of these management decisions. You've got to be patient.
Yeah. And it's a funny point you make, even just bringing up just watching men's league. I mean, even when I started playing beer league hockey, you know, playing from, it would have been 21. So playing junior hockey against 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds to playing against men, even if it was beer league and it's shit hockey, I was like, holy shit. Like these guys are huge. Like, yeah, it's crazy the size, the physical difference at that age. Sorry, Adriano.
And like a team like Milan, like you guys, you were sort of, and I'm not speaking negatively of your club, but you were in the past couple of years, 3-4 years, you were forced to play the young players. And now you're reaping the fruits, you know, reaping the benefits of that, right? So, and other clubs really should be doing that. Now it's Juventus' time to do that. We're a little down on certain things. And Milan kind of had a mold a little bit. You know, Pioli was down certain times. Like, people were on him. Like, is this the right coach? Now, I'm not comparing him and Max. I'm just saying sometimes you have to stay the course. Yeah. And Milan did it, and it worked. Inter did it before that, and it worked. And now Juventus, you just have to stay the course. And I think we made some bad decisions in the past 3-4 years. We made some bad contracts.
Yeah.
Bad contracts. And they're starting to filter through those. So let them filter through. It's just a bit of a rebuild. Everyone's got to do it.
Yeah, and you know, you said it perfectly. I mean, it's the famous saying for Milan's sake. I mean, you know, the whole, you know, till now it didn't pan out year one. Oh my God, we got to get rid of this kid. He's terrible. He's not the future of Italy's midfield. He's not a part of the Azzurri. Blah, 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 blah. And you know, he's there. He's good. He's now a champion. He's mm-hmm. one of the better young Italian midfielders that you know we have. Same thing with Rafael Leao, a bunch of these guys. So I think it obviously takes a lot because you know these stages that these players are on. You know, Mila at San Siro, or just in Milano, in Torino. You know, these are big piazzas to be a part of, to be thrown into the wolves. You know, with so obviously you're gonna feel the pressure when you're 19, 20, 21 years old. Gigio Donnarumma, 16, 17 years old when he first cracked the roster. So I agree with you totally. Stay the course, be patient, us Italians or the Serie A. In Italy, there is no patience. So that's where I kind of wanted to lead the question into, because I agree with what you're saying about, you know, let these young kids play. You know, it's okay to go on loan. I agree with that because these guys need experience, man. If they're not going to get it within their own club, they need these minutes. A guy like Lorenzo Colombo for Milan goes on loan 2 years in a row. Hopefully we'll see him back next year. Pobega, same thing. Like, there's so many countless names on all these bigger squads that have these younger players. Do you think, Anthony, that you know, as much as we can hope and pray for these things to happen, is it something that Juve can afford to do? Should be doing? You know, we haven't seen something like this at Juve. You know, in terms of you know, going younger, not having the biggest and best stars available to them week in and week out. Is this something that is really realistic, I guess, you know, going forward into these next handful of years?
Well, I said on our show the other day, you have to build your team to win your domestic league first. We made the mistake of building our team to win Champions League. And
yeah,
you have to build you have to build a core team to win domestically first. Now, Napoli's going to do their thing this year. Let's see what happens in the summer. I'm not going to say their wheels are going to fall off, but, you know, they built their they're built correctly. Now, Juventus has to build their team to win domestically first. Now, whoever that is, I trust the management to do it. Whoever the management's going to be, because we don't even know who that is. We still need a sporting director, for crying out loud. So I think a lot of those things need to be fixed first, management-wise. Like, let's get a sporting director in. Let's figure out who our manager is going to be. You know, there's differing opinions in our group. There's differing opinions out there in public. And is Max going to be the guy next year? Typically, yeah. When and this comes from, and this is an original thought for me. This is from Lou at the All Juve cast. Typically, when you hire a new sporting director, they bring in their own manager. It's going to be expensive to get rid of Max, but like, do we have the money to get rid of him? A lot of decisions that people are getting paid a lot of money to make. And fortunately, Nick and myself, we just have to sit here and just like grin and smile and say, okay, I guess that's what we're going to do. But in terms of player wise, yeah, we're not going to make the big splash. Like SMS isn't coming to Juventus. Juventus isn't spending, you know what I mean? Juventus isn't going to spend million, $60 or $70 million on a player this summer. They're going to spend 20 or 30. Right, they're going to try and fill specific holes and then just rely on players coming back from loan to fill the rest of the holes. And you want to know something? Like, if people forget that, barring the minus 15 point deduction, which is a whole other conversation, Juventus is in second place. We're in second place with the team that we have, with probably, and I don't know the stats on it, but got to be the team that suffered the most, like, players lost minutes wise to injuries out of any team in Serie A this year. It's not even close. So again, I think the core is there to compete in Serie A first, and I think that's what they should focus on. And just this summer, they just got to fill a couple more of the holes. But I think we're close to being back in Serie A. Europe.
That's far away.
Okay.
Maybe Europa League. We'll see. But Champions League, we are a country mile away from Champions League.
We are.
Not even close.
Two questions, since you kind of brought it up there, Anthony.
Yeah.
So the point you make about, you know, bringing in a new sporting director, new coach, all that, it is kind of interesting because, I mean, to be honest, ever since the change of all the directors, I don't really know who's who. Who does what exactly? I know that Gianluca Ferrero is the president. Is he the sporting president? I don't know. I know he's a businessman. Does that mean he's going to want to bring
in the chairman.
Yeah, he's the chairman. Does that mean he's going to want to bring in his own coach if he's a businessman? That business-wise, does it make sense to fire Allegri? I mean, to be honest, they've been playing well. They've been getting the results. Yeah. I think it's 15... wins in the past 18 games or something like that. But this is after, you know, rough last season, rough start to the season. I mean, what do you make of the whole Allegri saga, his return, you know, his future? And at the same time, since you brought it up, second part to the question, when do you think Juventus will win the next Scudetto, or at least actually fight for one?
Okay, so in terms of the management... So they decreased the board from 10 to 5. I got some names here. So Francesco Calvo is like the chief football officer. So the non-sporting side is sort of set, you know, and they brought some guys in, they promoted some people from the Primavera squad to fill in as Kitabini's out and Arriva Ben is out. So the sporting director is going to be key, right? Whoever that he's going to be. That person is the one who's going to lead the sporting side of it. I think we all just sort of need to compartmentalize the management side and the plus Venza and the capital gains and all that. So that's like Calvo and Ferrado and Scannavino and those guys. They're going to deal with that. So the sporting director does have a big decision to make, right? Like, getting to your second point, 15 of 23 games with clean sheets. It's not pretty, and I've said this on my show, and I take grenades for it every time. Max may not be the guy of the future, but he is the right manager for right now. Everything that's going on, he's done a great job of focusing the players, staying to it on the field, talking about how we have 47 points. He's not talking about the deduction. He's trying to, you know, mentally, I think he has the players in the right headspace to combat everything that's going on off the field. And, you know, it's, what is it, 5 of 6 clean sheets in the last, you know, 6 games, like we're, or 6 wins, or, you know, it's, I can't even keep up with it anymore. Like they're playing well. We're in a good groove. Sometimes it doesn't look good, but it's effective. And he's doing things effectively. I personally don't think he'll be the manager next year, but I said it on our show the other day. He's gonna sit in his meeting this summer. He's gonna have a big board, and he's gonna show the new boss, look at everything I did. I got all, look at all these clean sheets. You know, like I got young players playing. Look at all this good stuff. I got, you know, whatever trophies. You know, we're in the semifinals of Coppa Italia. He's got to get, you know, get past Inter. If he comes out with 2 trophies, right, and on paper, you know, they're in second place because no one's going to catch Napoli this year. Getting to your third point, if they get off to a good start next year, I think they can compete next year. I don't know if they're going to win, but everybody healthy, don't have that mid-year World Cup to worry about. I think they'll compete, and that's all I want. I just want them to compete.
I say 2025.
Interesting.
I say maybe they compete next year, and then 2025 is maybe hopefully the next
Scudetto. Sure. We'll see. what happens with Napoli. If they stay the way they're going, they could win 2 in a row here. But who knows? It's not easy. Like Allegri says, it's not easy to win. You have the right players, the right coach. You got to have a lot going for you. But there's still a lot of football left. We'll see.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, with all that being said there, any name in mind that maybe you would prefer, that you think is realistic? Because we always know, man, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I know you've had Max more times at Juventus than you've changed your underwear. It's crazy. But if in your eyes, if he is not the guy going forward, current, yes, but going forward, no. Anybody come to mind, Anthony, or is that something that still needs time to process and get a good grip of who should be there?
I don't like going backwards. Like Conte might be a great coach going backwards. Max Conte, no. is sort of going backwards. A lot of people want Zidane for what he did at Real Madrid. He had the keys to the fastest car to ever hit the pitch, right? That was one of the greatest teams ever assembled. So is he a great manager? If he was, wouldn't he be working right now? So I have my doubts about Zidane. Like, why is he working? Again, hindsight 2020, people wanted De Zerbi. You know, he's off in England now, whatever team he's going to, Bristol or wherever the hell he's coaching there, wherever he's coaching. I have no idea who would be. I think a young Italian coach would be nice to see. Like, give somebody. It's hard to give the keys to Juventus to a first timer, and I don't think they'll do it. But Agnelli wouldn't do it, and maybe Elkin wouldn't do it, and maybe Nedved wouldn't do it. But Nedved and Agnelli aren't there anymore. So maybe the new brass, whoever it is, whoever the sporting director is, maybe they would consider giving it to a younger coach. Maybe that's what this team needs. Some of the younger players, new age players, different ways of thinking. Maybe they need it. But it's going to be hard to pry Max out of that seat. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, they did test that waters there with Pirlo, right? They did test the waters with a brand new coach. Maybe not the oldest or the youngest, but brand new coach. Not even had his coaching license, and they threw him into the fire. So they went down that avenue, and I don't know how you thought of his tenure, as short as it was, Anthony. But
he had Ronaldo, right? Ronaldo covered a lot of holes, right?
Fair.
You know, he scored a boatload of goals that season.
Yeah.
Man, I'm on both sides of that one. I can see why people want to keep him. I, to me, I don't care. I don't care who the manager is, because I'm a Juventus fan, right? I'm going to support either way. I'm not going to go out there and say this manager, because really, people don't know. People don't know which managers. They look at it and they say, oh, this manager will definitely be better than that manager. You don't know.
Yeah, they think
and
they
you
know.
Don't know that Pirlo would have done better than Allegri is doing with this team. I said on our show, I bet Pirlo would have done worse. Pirlo, his team wouldn't have been as defensive as Max's teams. Wouldn't have anywhere near as many clean sheets. As bad as it looks, it's just way more effective. So we'll see where it goes. See where it goes this summer.
Yeah.
Funny you mentioned going back to the past today. I saw Pescara hired Zeman for a third time. They're currently in Serie C. He last coached them. He had come in to replace Massimo Odo back in 2017 when they were in Serie A, and then he had coached them in the year with Insigne, Immobile, and Verratti when they got promoted. So I was just curious. I pulled up his Wikipedia page. It's his third stint with Pescara. It's not even the most most number of stints he's had with one team. He's been with Foggia four times. So this is in Italy, there's always these coaches that just go around. He's one of them. And I don't know if you pay attention at all to Serie B, Anthony, but I think it was like, what was it, Spal or Brescia this year? They keep firing coaches like it's nothing. We saw that even with Salernitana. Now Paulo Sosa's there. There's so much of this in Italy. It's hilarious. Even Bologna fired. Had a couple of coaching changes now in the.
But when you hire a manager that you've had before, at least you have to show him where the cafeteria is. He knows where the cafeteria is. He knows where the office is. He knows where the washrooms are.
Washrooms, I was going to say. The bathrooms.
Right? Key. Yeah. It's key.
Especially at his age, 75 years old, so whatever it is. So.
You know, the coffee's just over there on the left.
Exactly. I guess we'll shift a bit of gears because tomorrow is the derby, Anthony, as you guys do know. I guess we'll preview that a bit. Your thoughts going into the match tomorrow. Weird time, weird day of the week for a game to be. You wish these games. Yeah, exactly. You wish these games are going to be maybe a primetime game or just on the weekend. But we'll have Tuesday night football on tomorrow for the derby.
Yeah.
Again, overall thoughts. Obviously, we spoke about how good Juventus has been playing, their run of form. Does that transfer over into the derby? Because as we know, the derby is another beast on its own, no matter what game it is, or what derby it is, where it's played, Serie A, Serie B, it's a different animal. Anthony, just your overall thoughts on going into this game, into this derby, and what you want to see in this matchup.
All statistics are in Juventus' favor in the last 20 years of this derby. Like, everything is with them. The big one tomorrow is Locatelli being suspended. This is going to be a battle in the trenches in the midfield. It always is. Like you said, any derby, it doesn't matter the positioning of either team. It's going to be a grudge match. And I don't know if Paredes has the stomach for it, because he's going to be in there. You know, if Max sticks with the 3-5-2, which he's been playing, I don't think it's going to be as easy as it should be on paper. But Locatelli being out, it's going to be a miss. I still think it's a clean sheet for Juventus. I still think it's going to be a 2-0 win. But I think they're going to have to grind it out. Lately, I've been – what you really need to look at is the refereeing. And Daniele Chifi, he's the referee for this one. He's done 9 Juventus matches. He's done 81 Serie A matches. He's done 9 for Juventus. And Juventus is 8-1 in those matches. Not putting on my conspiracy here, theory hat, but they've seen him before, right? And he averages only like 0.25 red cards. So in those 9 games, Juventus, he's had 1 red card for, 1 against. But he's never coached the derby. Right, so he's never had a match like this, and he has enough experience under his belt that it won't affect them, but you hope that the ref doesn't get involved in this game, just lets them play. I think there's going to be some early yellows just to kind of settle things down. I don't see any red cards, and I don't see him being an issue, but based on everything I'm seeing. But Paredes is going to be the key. People want to watch this match who aren't Juventus fans, just watch that guy in the middle. Because if he starts getting cooked, it could be a problem. Right, Nick? It could be a big problem.
He's another weird player. I was excited about him at first. I thought, you know, the fact that Ravello being loaned out, him coming in, it was like, okay, they're just going to go with a more experienced player. I don't know if they made the right decision because he's weird. Like, he was decent for Argentina at the World Cup. He's the type of guy, he's just going to yell at you and kick the ball at the bench and whatever. And then, I don't know, he's just...
Solid move.
Yeah. And then with Juve, like you said, there's times where he gets cooked, but there's other times. You know what? I think I tweeted, I forget which game it was when I was watching. He was just making so many short passes. I'm like, this guy is just the Argentinian Arthur. Like, it's the same player as him. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe Paredes will be in it tomorrow because it's a derby.
He'll be
emotionally available, but we'll see. We did get some questions on social media from, well, I hope it's from Berto because it's posted on Instagram from the All Juve Cast Instagram account. So I hope it wasn't you posting it yourself, but he did ask who is Ant's favorite AJC cast member and why is it Berto? And then Luca Natale also asked Tony his thoughts on Perrin being the better goalkeeper. So two questions from AJC cast members.
Yeah, a couple of stupid questions, but I'll answer them anyways. you know, Berto's been, even though we've never met face-to-face, he's been a good friend. You know, you kind of developed this friendship, spending so many hours together discussing something that, you know, a common interest. So, and he, me and him, they all make fun of me being the old guy, but he's not far off. He and I are closer in age than the others. But all I'll say is I enjoy all the time I spend working on All Juve Cast, either on screen, off screen, in our group chat. It's a lot of fun. In terms of the goalkeepers, other teams would be lucky to have the situation that we're in. For me, I've always said 1A, 1B. Tech and Perrin are 1A, 1B. I think Tech gets a lot of flack for no reason. I think he had a slow start to the season, but he is a legitimate starting goalkeeper in Serie A, and I think he's a legitimate starting goalkeeper in the top five leagues in Europe. Not necessarily on the top teams, but I think he can play in any leagues. He had a fantastic World Cup. I think people... You know, they look at that, they kind of remember that early part of the season. He didn't have a good start, but he is a top goalkeeper. Perrin, and so is Perrin. But if, you know, Perrin was a top goalkeeper, you know, he opted to stay at Juventus as a backup for whatever reasons that was. Maybe they promised him a starting job within a certain amount of seasons. But like why isn't he off to these other leagues? And right, you can kind of make that argument. Like, is Perrin as good as everybody thinks? He might be. I just think for us, we're in a great situation. If Perrin comes in, we do not skip a beat. I think he just offers something different. He's a little bit more vocal. But I take nothing away from Tech. For me, again, they're 1A, 1B. And we have these arguments all the time, especially me and Homer in our group. Whatever. It's a good problem to have. I don't really care who's in there. And Tech is a big paycheck. Maybe they sell him this summer to save a bit of cash, and then boom. Yeah, betting in there. We're not missing anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll admit, I would prefer, you know, if they do get rid of Chesney, like if they're able to sell him and make money off of it and have Perrin as the starter. But yes, it is a nice situation to be in because I feel like throughout the Buffon years, for most of the years, they always had a backup goalie who was never that good or who was maybe a young goalie, and we'd always be like, oh, this is the, you know, he's going to be his replacement, and they were always not good until basically Chesney came in, and, you know, for once, at that point, we had a good backup, and then Buffon leaves, Chesney takes over, Perrin is the backup, and it's a good mix. I think they each bring their own strengths. I think Chesney is better for playing the ball out. I think that's one weakness of Perrin, but I do think Perrin, I wouldn't say better shot stopping ability, but he makes those spectacular saves that maybe Chesney won't. Is that really what you need in a goalkeeper? Of course, but you also want a goalkeeper to make fundamental saves. Anthony, I don't know how big of a hockey fan you are, but you know one thing hockey people will tell about goalies, if they're not making spectacular saves, it means they're well positioned. You know, so maybe that's also the case with Tech. So for now, I'm happy we have two great goalies, but in the future, I would prefer Perrin as a number one, but we'll
see. I just think we got so much other shit to worry about. Like,
agree.
Like nitpick who the goalie is. Yeah. Like whatever. Like go touch grass. Like we got so much other stuff to worry about, man. Like left back, midfield. Is Dusan gonna be here next year? So much other stuff. Like whatever, whatever, Luca.
Speaking of left back, I don't know if it's confirmed or not. It's probably still in the works, but I had seen, and again, I don't remember who had tweeted it or who had posted it. I think I'd seen it on Twitter either today or yesterday. Again, don't remember. Alexandro possibly extending. Just as a non-fan, like, why? But maybe you can clarify and tell me, Adria, he's actually not bad. For me, he's terrible. But Anthony, is that something that you want to continue with this Alexandro?
Again, I'm going to take grenades for this one. I was taking them all day in our group chat. I don't see an issue with it. In a back three, Sandro hasn't been a problem. In a back four, when he's a left back, he's a problem.
He's a problem.
But our best setup this year has been a 3-5-2. Can we find a better player to put there? 100%. Has he been an issue? No, he hasn't. And people, like, it's okay to change your opinion on things. And it's okay to say, hey, you want to know something? You know, I'm going to grow a little bit and say, this guy, maybe he hasn't been playing so bad. But people just hang on to things. And they can't get over the fact that maybe Sandro isn't a problem right now. Now, his salary is an issue. Like, why would you keep a guy on that high of a salary for one more year when you can bring somebody else in? My thing is, if it's going to cost you $30 million to find a replacement, bring in somebody back from loan and keep him there to help, you know, help a young player build to take over his position. Now, is Sandro going to want to do that? I don't know. I don't think it's all doom and gloom if he stays. It is if we play in a back four. But if we stay with a back three, I really don't see what the issue is. I think we can just manage it, but I don't think it's the be all end all if he sticks around. Nicholas?
It's funny. You know what? I did see people kind of freaking out about it on Twitter today, but it's like, if it's one more season, he's already been around since, what, 2016? If it's one more season, is it going to be the end of the world? But, like you said, maybe it would be a good idea to have a younger player come in. I don't know if it's going to be Pellegrini or somebody else.
Cambiasso, yeah. Is he coming back? He's on loan.
Bologna, right?
I think he's playing a lot more than Pellegrini. I don't know. Pellegrini, I think he's a player we all hyped up, but I don't think he's that good.
I don't think he's seen the field yet with Lazio.
I don't think so.
He didn't see a lot of it. But
no. Yeah, he's a
again,
good player.
It's not like I get people's worries, but I said in our group chat today, I said to Joe Cappuccino in our group chat, you can't look me in the face and tell me that Sandro's been an utter disaster this year. You can't tell me that with a straight face, because he hasn't been. And it's okay to say he hasn't been. You can still hate the guy. You can still not like him in general, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, you're right. Idra, I don't know if you have any other questions, but I do have one more question, and you kind of mentioned his name quickly, Vlahovic. What have you made of his season? Do you believe the rumors that he's going anywhere? Because personally, I don't. But I'm not the one to believe rumors until, you know, the club tweets it. But yeah, what do you think about
that?
So
we see this a lot. You know, Lou and Omer, they do a great job with the news over at All Juve Cast. They deserve a lot of credit. They're up early in the morning. Well, Omer's in Israel. So he starts early, and then Lou gets up early more, and they pump out a lot of news. So our thing is, over there, we present all the news. And as Berto says, we lay it out for you to play it out. So we report everything, whether, you know, we give it from all sides. So for some news articles, you can sort of sense when there's smoke, like there's fire. With the Dusan thing, I think there's just a lot more smoke. There's not a lot of fire behind it. From the people that we've talked to behind the scenes, he loves the club. He loves playing there. He wants to succeed there. The club has no intentions of selling him. I just think for right now, I think it's just a little bit more clickbait because it's the club may need financial help, and who's the one guy who's going to bring in a lot of money? It's going to be Dusan. So I think it might just be clickbait at the moment. Would I be surprised if they start listing offers? No, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be really surprised if he's gone this summer. I don't think they were lying last year when they said that he's a part of the future, one of the building blocks. Rough start to the year, had the injury, that fibula, however you want to say it, like the sports hernia, like not an easy injury to get over. Then he had the World Cup, and he's come back. Like he's lost a lot of pounds to get back. Like you should say, like he's lean, he's ready to go. You can see that he wants it. So I think he's going to be, I think him, Chiesa, Locatelli, and Fagioli and Rovella, they're going to be the centerpieces moving forward. I think it's going to take quite an offer to get rid of him, like a big offer, but I really don't see it.
Yeah,
I don't think Juventus should worry about it at the moment.
I agree, unless he's the one who initiates it. But yeah,
everything we're hearing, that's not happening.
No, exactly.
We're not hearing any of that.
And you know, he's kind of had an interesting season too. Maybe he's not scoring at the rate that we expected him, but yeah, he's been injured on and off. And you know what him and Milik were doing together at the beginning of the year. I think, like, a lot of people, this was ridiculous. I saw, you know, people saying Milik's a better striker than Vlahovic. Like, come on, guys. I think Vlahovic was just opening up a ton of space on the pitch for Milik. So, you know, if they ever want to use two strikers, they know they can. I forget if it was on Thursday or last weekend that Keane and Vlahovic played together. And Keane, he's another player. He gets a lot of hate, but I think he's just become a good role player for us. He started on Thursday. A lot of people criticized, and at the end of the day, we won. He didn't really do much, but we won. That's what matters. And
he's too expensive to get rid of at 35 million euros. I think Milik's, you know, get to your point, he got a lot of hate, but he's been around. He's been in the city. It's, you know, Milan, you have Vlahovic. Ibrahimovic and Giroud, right? Sometimes you need those older guys in there just to kind of, like, they know the ropes, right? And it's, you know,
mentality,
you
know,
like,
too.
Right? He does a lot of the dirty work that Vlahovic, you don't really see him doing, because Vlahovic is more of a ball at his feet kind of run striker. He's not a back to goal striker. And Milik likes playing that. So it's a good, I think those two are a good partnership. Now, when he comes back, how is he going to fit in? I don't know. But, for 7 million euros, I think that's an easy buy for Juventus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the better band-aids that you guys have had, if I can say that.
Hasn't been an issue.
Exactly, right? You know, maybe thought he would have been, didn't had the Napoli stint, didn't really work out maybe the best of ways, went to France. Again, I don't watch Ligue 1, but I didn't hear much great things. Comes back to Serie A and has been able to continue to prove that he's still quality on his day, right? So I guess before we wrap this up, a two-part thing. You said the building blocks, those lists of players. One that, you know, I think Juventini were dying to see back was Federico Chiesa. Finally, slowly but surely getting to see him back into the groove of things, just getting more minutes under his legs. Obviously coming back from a crazy injury himself, as you know, Anthony. So again, do people just need to continue to be patient with him? Because I think they do, but you see some people go crazy over he's not Chiesa of Euro 2020. He's not Chiesa of, you know, Fiorentina, early days Juve. Just your thoughts on Chiesa going forward in terms of, you know, just patience and what he can continue to bring. Will he continue to progress in this Allegri system, or will he degrade? Like, where do you see this?
I think Chiesa is going to progress in any system that we have. Like, he is, you know, people say that Vlahovic is a centerpiece. No, Chiesa is a centerpiece. He is Juventus of the future. People who, I want to put this gently as I can, but people who say he's not the same player have never had any sort of injury in their life ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I say this on our show. People hear ACL injury and they're like, oh, Chiellini came back in 7 months. Completely different from a center back to an explosive striker. Like, two completely different players, different body types. A guy like him, you have to give him time. He's going to need a little bit more time. They just assume that he's going to come back and start playing 90 minutes a game. I like the way that they've been handling him. I think it's fine. I think for the Azzurri, we need to handle him properly too. Because I think he's a big piece of the national team as well. Patience. People lack patience. We're in a world now where it's like, I want it now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You got it. Some stuff just takes longer. Injuries just take longer. You just gotta be patient. I think the way they're handling him again, I think it's great. I think there's a lot of football left. He's got a lot of minutes left this season, and God willing, he's got a lot of minutes left in many, many seasons to come. And he's gonna be our main piece. And I can't wait for it.
Yeah, totally agree. And I agree with the Azzurri point. I think we all do. Again, was a focal point in the summertime. Will continue to be a focal point. Probably now more of, you know, the starter, the guy on that right-hand side as well. So definitely need to take care of our top players accordingly, not only for club football, for international football as well, European football. Again, I didn't really want to bring it up because it is so many unknowns. You touched upon it a bit before, Anthony, and before we go, just your quick thoughts. We don't want to really dive into the whole nine yards because we've already done it. We already know what's going on, or sort of know what's going on. You said a lot about it before in terms of like the management. We got to figure out a lot of things, or Juventus has to figure out a lot of things, in terms of internally. We spoke about all the stuff on the pitch, but internally into the club, this whole management situation, upper management situation, obviously with the 15-point deduction, so many unknown factors still there to be had. I guess just your brief thoughts on everything that has transpired. What do you think might, you know, come out of this, if anything, worse or the same, or just, again, your overall brief thoughts of everything?
A minus 50-point deduction middle of the season, to me, proves that the Serie A and the FIGC is just an absolute clown show. You know, that sort of thing you got to do in the off season. In the off season, if it happened, you can deal with these things. But doing it mid season, it makes the league look bad. And then when you have the CEO of Serie A saying that shouldn't happen, it's like, that's your league. You're the CEO. Yeah. What are you doing? I don't believe the 15 points are coming back. a lot of people disagree with me. I don't think they're coming back. Appeals in Italy have like a 7% success rate. The real issue is the salary maneuvers, because Juventus is a publicly traded company. You know, you got to keep your – I think that is a bigger issue. I don't think that's going to have a sporting effect. I think that's going to have a financial effect. Everything that we've seen in the news stated that Juventus is working with UEFA. So it's there's so many different avenues of this thing. It's like there is no financial fair play rules in Serie A, so you don't have the same rules to register a team. The Serie A and whoever else met last week, and they're trying to come up with rules for the plus Venza. They couldn't do it because it's you can't. How do you do this? So how do you give a 15-point deduction for something that there's no rules for? To me, the whole thing is a goddamn clown show, is what it is. Like, you can't put your finger on who's right and who's wrong. I don't think Juventus is innocent. I think, you know, you have a mountain of paperwork. I think there was shenanigans going on in terms of, like, the salary maneuvers. I do. I don't think that they're completely innocent. But that has no bearing on the sporting side of it. If there's financial penalties, so be it. But, you know, it's Italy. You know, I said on our show, these are the people who take a nap in the afternoon and don't have 24-hour drugstores. So you want them to make sense? It's not going to make sense. None of it's going to make sense. So you just got to kind of, us being in North America, we have a judicial system over there. I think they have more of a justice system. So they take, you know, I'm just happy that we live over here for day in and day out activities, because I don't know if I'd make it over there, especially with all the naps in the afternoon. Can't get anything done. But hey, I think there's a lot to unravel. March 27th, there's another hearing. We have our appeal at the end of February or early March for the 15 points. Like you said, Adrian, a lot to unpack. And
yeah,
like Max Allegri says, one game at a time. And as Berto says on our show, one day at a time. We're just getting one day at a time, one game at a time. That's all you can do. Don't lose sleep over it.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Because if not, Anthony, you're going to start breaking everything. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward, right? So
always go forward in life, kids.
Yeah, there you go. That's the lesson of the day on the podcast with Anthony. Nick, I think that's all we have for Anthony. I don't know if you had anything, but we really covered a lot, Anthony. So we really do appreciate your time. We know, obviously, our co-host Johnny does as well in the air, wherever he may be right now, because he's going through all kinds of delays himself. Mm-hmm. Yes. But again, we touched upon it at the beginning of the show, Anthony, where you are on social media. Again, the floor is yours. Plug away. We can't thank you enough for your time tonight, for all the work you guys do for not only Juventus, but I guess, you know, for Serie A as well. Just where can people find you personally and with the show that you're part of? The floor is yours, my friend.
For me personally, my Twitter is @TheKneeGuy. We run a lot with our main Twitter account for our show, @AllJuveCast. You can also find us on YouTube. That's our main thing. We're on Instagram as well. We have our own, Berto has started up his own line. So we have Striped Hearts Apparel. He makes his own line of clothing. So you can check out Striped Hearts Apparel. It's on you can find that through either the Instagram or the Twitter feed of the All Juve Cast or the YouTube channel. But yeah, we're all Juve all the time. We love it. We do pregame, postgame shows. Sometimes we'll have special guests on. We're working on some other special guests in the near future. So stay tuned for that. But we love it. I would suggest for anyone watching this show, always like and subscribe to anything you watch on YouTube. I didn't know this before becoming a content creator, but it takes a lot of work. So I appreciate everything you guys do. I appreciate more anybody who creates YouTube content. It's not easy. You take time out of your day. This is something that none of us really get paid for. know, this is something that we love doing. So I would say always like and comment and subscribe to things you do on YouTube, whether it be you guys, the Culture Guys, or all UV Cast or Milan Cast or whoever you want to support. So always support the content creators. It really goes a long way. Even just hitting that little like button, it helps everybody out. So that would be my parting word. Always support the YouTube creators. We do it for you. We take time of our day to do it for you. So always support where you can.
We learned a few lessons today. Always like and subscribe and always move forward. Right, Anthony?
Always go forward, boys. Always go forward. And never listen to Luca.
We love Luca. But honestly, Anthony, we couldn't have said it better ourselves. We might have to keep you on the line for other lessons after we close the show off. But again, guys, go follow Anthony, not only Anthony, but the whole crew at All Juve Cast. Like you said, constantly with the Juve content, they're always active, they're always consistent. Again, I can't say I listen and watch everything, but I do try my best to continue to support you guys as well. Not a Juve fan, so I hate Juve, but you know what? We can have a civilized conversation. Nobody's perfect, exactly, right? So, you know, we can get together and have these conversations, which I personally love. Again, throw away the colors. It just, you know, being able to have these conversations is great. So, guys, go follow them at All Juve Cast for us. At The Culture Guys on all social media platforms for the audio version of the podcast on all your favorite podcasting platforms. And again, we thank you all for listening and tuning in this week. We'll be back next week to talk a lot more culture.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Vediamo un po' qui, Goal Line Technology. E gol! E la tripletta di Angel Di Maria! 0-3, gol di testa dopo il capolavoro con il sinistro a giro. The Cultural Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring Cultural back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Cultural Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The outro song is The Last Ones by Jazar.